actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
And the stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that.
Who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? Hiya, besties. It's me, Jennifer Wan. This is What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business. And you join us once again on the island of tears, or whatever we are at the minute. So the mourning period is well underway, but there is still politics business going on, so we're gonna dive right into it, swim around and try not to drown. Grab a drink, grab a snack, get cozy, get comfy, and let's do it. So everybody is navigating the death of the Queen in their own way. Let's talk about the path that the Labour Party is taking. Because in typical Labour Party fashion, it's a bit messy, girl. So Owen Jones, who is, you know, well, he's Owen Jones, girl, you know. He does journalism sometimes. He does like opinion pieces and commentary sometimes. He writes books and things. He does videos on the YouTube. He searches his name up a lot on Twitter and responds to people that didn't even tag him quite a bit. But you know what? That's his business. But one thing he did tweet this week that I did find interesting, he posted about what Labour parties are being told to do with their social media during the mourning period. So he said, "This has been sent to all Labour MPs by the party leadership, banning them from posting anything on social media except for tributes to the Queen or whatever the party tells them, and banning them from talking to the media." So then he posts some screenshots of this document where it says, "You should not post anything on social media except your own tribute or what you've been asked to share from the PLP office." So the Parliamentary Labour Party office. "You should not do any media except for your own tribute to local outlets." Okay. So Owen goes on to point out that this effectively bans Labour MPs from publicly raising awareness or talking about a number of huge issues that are currently going on. And I mean, yeah, he's right, basically. See, here's the thing. It's a really difficult situation because most parties, as far as I'm aware, have kind of all agreed we're not going to do any campaigning during this mourning period. We're going to be fucking nice and congenial to each other or whatever. Well, not so much that, but just we're not going to actively campaign. However, I do wonder where you draw the line, because, I mean, the crisis doesn't stop just because some people are upset about the death of the Queen. And I mean, I don't know the Queen, obviously. I've never met her. My mum met Prince Charles once, though, and Camilla Parker, what's her face. And that's a whole other podcast, because that's hilarious. But that's the closest I've ever come, I guess. But, I don't know the Queen. I don't know the royal family. But I would think if I were the queen, if I were a monarch or whatever, I would want for the people of the nation that I am queen of to be safe, to be happy, to have the things that they need. And if a huge crisis was endangering that, I would, frankly, I would expect the opposition that acts in my name to continue acting in the best interests of the people. However, I'm not fucking delusional, and I do understand why the Labour Party would make this decision. Do I think it's stupid? Frankly, yes, because the crisis doesn't stop just because there's a mourning period. And if we're to believe that the Queen and now the new King love and care for the people of the UK, then really they should have no problem with, you know, the opposition that acts in their name saying to the government, you've got to do something about this crisis, you know. And I wouldn't say that it's disrespectful. However, I am aware that these islands are pretty unhinged right now. For anyone outside of the UK, it's getting pretty wild, you know. I don't mean there's, like, you know, riots in the streets or anything, but I mean there are some people that are very sensitive right now. I know that political parties are very aware of this, and so I think perhaps they're a bit worried about negative press coverage. You know, how dare you talk about how your constituent is, you know, suffering as a result of the cost of living crisis? Don't you know there's a mourning period on, you heartless bastard? That would be very easy for example, you know, a Telegraph editor to splash across their front page shaming a Labour MP or, you know, a Lib Dem MP or an SNP MP or whatever, whoever it is in the opposition, you know, shaming them for talking about something that is not the Queen during the effectively enforced mourning period. So I can understand Labour being a bit apprehensive about it, frankly, because they know one mistake, one person steps out of line and says something other than, oh my God, I'm so heartbroken about the Queen. I don't know if I can go on. Oh no. There are going to be so many people that are going to lose their shit and make it into a huge thing. And I don't think that any Member of Parliament really who wanted to continue bringing awareness to stuff like the cost of living crisis, police brutality, that is something that is in a lot of people's minds right now in the UK, after another killing of a young black man by police officers in London. So that's something that's on people's minds. Right now, Labour MPs are being told, don't fucking talk about that, even though it's something that the public are going to be thinking about. But apparently, Labour MPs have to join in with the delusion that none of us are thinking about anything other than the Queen. You know, they can't talk about... They can't talk about parents who are terrified of what is to come, the cost of living crisis, worried about their kids, worried about what they're going to do. I understand that they're worried about backlash. They're worried about things being taken out of context. I get it. But I also, I don't know. I think sometimes you have to learn to trust the public, because with the situation being as dire as it is, I think perhaps the public are ready to be a lot more grown up than people think they are. I don't know. I just think maybe with how shit things are and how shit things may get, people are more open to saying, you know what, I'm not just going to get angry because I'm being told that I should be about, you know, one tweet about food banks from a Labour MP. Maybe I'm angry about the fact that those food banks are necessary. You know, perhaps Labour needs to learn to trust their MPs. I don't know. And actually, it's interesting because one of their MPs decided to say, well, fuck it. Well, fuck it. Why not? Clive Lewis, a Labour MP, decided that he was going to talk about something that wasn't approved. And he wrote a piece for The Guardian. The headline was, "Amid the mourning, we Republicans should look and learn, but we must not be silenced." So he wanted to talk about, I mean, I don't think it was a negative piece. It wasn't, you know, fuck the royals, I hate you, Prince Charles, or whatever. Like, he wasn't saying that. I keep reflexively calling him Prince Charles, and he's not that anymore, and I'll get used to it eventually, or I just won't, and I'll continue calling him that. And then everyone will come after me and act like I'm some kind of evil Republican, but it's like, I mean, I'm a Republican, and I might be a little bit evil, but I'm also forgetful. Like, leave me alone. I'm a creature of habit. Anyway, but yeah, it wasn't a particularly negative or antagonistic piece. You know, he was just looking at the possibilities for the future. And, you know, he did talk about, you know, stuff like the arrests that have happened, because there have been people that have been arrested for expressing Republican views during this mourning period, people that have been arrested for maybe not wanting to join in on all this. And in a nation that is apparently a free place, that's obviously concerning. So I do think that that is something that a politician perhaps ought to be talking about. But of course, he shouldn't have done it, apparently. The Labour Party said, no, don't do it. But you know what? I'm searching his name right now. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a lot of people agreeing with him. I'm seeing a couple of people disagreeing with him. But I'm not really seeing the sky falling. I am not seeing this sort of horrific overreaction. People saying that the Labour Party is some kind of communist hellhole, disrespecting the monarchy. I'm not seeing that. I'm just not. I'm seeing people peacefully and respectfully engaging with a respectful opinion piece. The sky didn't fall. There was no catastrophe. Nobody is flipping out and, you know, calling for him to stand down or anything like that. There's no drastic thing that happened here. Nothing. I had to scroll real fucking far to find a negative response. And frankly, it was from somebody that was always going to think like that, because they are like a complete ultra conservative. So that, I think, says a lot. Labour were worried about their MPs rocking the boat too much during this mourning period, but one of them did it and it was actually fine. So, I don't know, guys. Maybe just fucking chill. I mean, look, I'm all about, like, being respectful or whatever, but it does feel that a lot of this is pretty fucking heavy. Like, I'm not going to begrudge people that maybe need this time and they need to get out their emotions and all that. Like, that's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Me personally, I'm not so affected, but, you know, it's sad because somebody died and that's sad. But I'm not, you know, falling to the floor and wailing in the middle of Asda. But if someone needs to fall to the floor and wail in the middle of Asda, that's okay too. Like, I believe people should feel how they want to feel. But kind of this sort of effort to push us all into feeling the same, saying the same, thinking the same, this kind of almost enforced mourning period, you know, you will mourn, you will be sad, you will be depressed. I'm sorry, but I'm not. I am more worried about the cost of living crisis. I'm sorry, but I just am. And we're going to be talking about that in a bit. I got some things to say. But that's just how I feel. You know, maybe I'll watch the funeral. I don't know. Maybe I also won't. I'll definitely be watching Paddington 2 after. I definitely will be doing that, though. Like, 100%. But... You know, I think it was misguided of the Labour Party to try and enforce that. You know, maybe tell people, you know, use common sense, you know, don't run in there and like say something super disrespectful or rude, but to tell them they can't speak to the media, they can't do this, they can't do that, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. You know what else is stupid? So apparently civil servants have been told in one of the Whitehall buildings that their use of windows was being monitored closely because their bosses didn't want them staring out the window at the royal processions instead of working. So we're kind of swinging between two extremes here. You know, it's you have to participate in this living history or else. And on the other side, you've got, don't you dare participate in this living history. Shut the fuck up and do your work. So, I mean, a happy balance in the medium, in the middle, would be so much better. But it is what it is. I think everyone's just trying to get through this. Everyone's just trying to muddle through as they can. Because this is very, like many things in recent years, it's very unprecedented. I mean, we had the Brexit, that was a bit unprecedented. We had the COVID, that was a bit unprecedented. And now we're going through this. So, I mean, maybe people are trying to figure out how to act. But one thing that I would say should be pretty fucking obvious, just regardless of everything, is that if you are at some kind of memorial event, you should know that you shouldn't be acting like a child. You should be behaving yourself. Just act like a normal person. If you are in a room and everyone's wearing black and the ladies are wearing the hats and everyone's quiet and solemn and maybe some people are crying and shit, don't act like a child. But you know who needed to be told this, apparently? Alex Cole-Hamilton, leader of the Scottish Liberal Democrats. Embarrassment. Embarrassment of a man. So there's a video that's gone viral. It was a ceremony at Westminster Hall in London when the Queen's coffin was taken there during the week. God, so embarrassing. Imagine. This man, he was stood behind Nicola Sturgeon and Mark Drakeford, the First Ministers of Scotland and Wales, both of which, who were being normal. They were standing there like normal dignified adults. He is twatting around in the background. He didn't seem to realize he was being filmed, I guess. I don't even know. It was really embarrassing. I was watching it and I was like, I'm just thanking God every day I'm not a Liberal Democrat. My God, how embarrassing. It was just sad cringe, girl. Sad cringe. And at the big age of 45, imagine needing to be told how to act at a memorial. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, even if you don't really stand the royal family or whatever, you can still be polite. You can still show up and be respectful. And if you can't do that, don't show up at all. But then again, I mean, this is a recurring problem with, like, dudes in politics, let me tell you. So many of them, they don't know how to act right in any situation. Like, they just don't. They just don't. We see it every day at Westminster in particular. You see, like, just men in their 40s and 50s yelling and screaming like toddlers. And I'm just like, how are you not embarrassed? How are you not mortified by your own behaviour? Do you own a mirror? Look in it and have a word with yourself. Jesus. So, yeah, if I were the Scottish Liberal Democrats, I'd maybe be looking at whether you want this man to be representing you at events like this. But then again, I mean, it's not like they have a ton of people to choose from, is it? tiny little pie. There was also reports that officials are having to stop people from smuggling dogs into Westminster Hall, where the Queen is currently lying in state. So basically, people can go to Westminster Hall and visit the Queen's coffin, I think it is. So she's there in her coffin. There is a flag on top of it and her crown and stuff like that. I actually, out of curiosity, watched a bit of the live stream the other day. I have to tell you, like, I felt uncomfortable watching it. Like, I don't know, because it felt like a private moment. There were people and they were crying and you know, like, talking to the Queen and stuff. And I felt like invasive. I was like, I shouldn't be here. I don't belong here. I shouldn't be here. No, I don't belong here. So I had to dip because I felt like I was invading people's privacy. But apparently people were trying to smuggle their pet dogs under their coats in to see the Queen. I mean, in a sense, I get it because she loved dogs. But like, girl, again, people need to be taught how to act, because what is this? Speaking of people that need to be told how to act. So there have been people, members of the public, having to queue for hours. I mean, the queue is miles long, literally. When I last checked, it was something like 4 miles long or something. People are waiting hours and hours for this. I thought I might just go just to see what it was like. But then I thought, I'm not standing in a queue for that long. Like, sorry, girl, but it's not for me. But people are doing it because it's what they want to do. And good for them. There have been celebrity queuers. David Beckham, a football player, very, very famous man, married to Victoria from the Spice Girls, who arguably I know more about. So he went and he queued up for hours. He went at like 2 a.m. and was in a queue for like 12 hours. Good for him. But there have been some people skipping the queue. It turns out that members of parliament have been skipping the queue and people are pissed. Theresa May, former Prime Minister, Conservative MP, woman who frolics in fields of wheat, skipped the queue. And I mean, look, no offence, but like, she already had a ton of moments with the Queen. Like, I'm sure that many of the people going, like members of the public, would never have met the Queen, never have got to spend any time with her. Theresa May, you got to like take up a ton of that woman's time. You could at least be polite and cute like everybody else, but you have to rub salt in the wound by pushing your way in the line? Go. Not this. So apparently Angela Rayner, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, has also skipped the queue and just sort of jumped in, popped in to see the Queen. Popped in. Hey Liz, what's good? So Theresa Villiers also and David Simmons, Conservative MPs, have also skipped the queue to see the Queen. Now, members of the public, many of them are queuing overnight on the streets of London to see her, to see the Queen. Which, I mean, I'm not doing it, obviously. And I probably wouldn't. But you know what? If it makes people happy and it's what they want to do, fine. But for MPs to be skipping this queue, it's disrespectful. And it's just yet another reminder that privilege is such a prevalent thing on this island of ours. It really is. So they have been able to do this because they can book a slot to go in and visit the Queen while she's lying in state. They can also take up to 4 guests with them, which, I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't know why this decision was made, because surely they must have realised it would have looked absolutely fucking disrespectful. However, members of staff who work for MPs have been told that they can't skip the queue in the same way, and they're very upset about this. So one of them spoke to a journalist and shared that they've been told that due to projected numbers that were expecting to join the queue over the coming days, it was not possible to open up access further without the risk of impacting access for queuing members of the public. Well, either a queue is equal or it's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. There's also been quite a few discussions about the funeral of Queen Elizabeth, which is happening on Monday. It's a state funeral. It's going to be on the television. There's been a bank holiday that's been organised for it. It's a very last minute bank holiday. Like I said, I might actually watch it. I think I might, just because I feel like I should. Because one day my kids are going to be like, Mum, did you watch that funeral for the Queen? And I'll be like, no, I was streaming Pokemon on Twitch. I didn't watch it. And I'll be like, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with you? So maybe I'll watch it just so I can say to them that I did, but I don't know. Anyway, Ian Duncan Smith, Conservative MP, has something to say about the Queen's funeral. And he is deeply upset that the Chinese president has been invited to the funeral of Queen Elizabeth. So, get ready for me to say this wrong because I pronounce everything wrong. It's my brand. But I promise you, I'm not doing it from a place of disrespect. It comes from a place of being a dumb bitch. Xi Jinping. I think I got it right. I don't know. So he is the Chinese president and he has been invited to the state funeral for Queen Elizabeth. And Ian Duncan Smith is fuming. So he's fuming, love. So he says that it was astonishing that Chinese representatives had been invited and suggested it was Project Kowtow all over again. He continues, How can they ban Belarus, Russia and Myanmar and not say no to China? They have a huge record of human rights abuses, including what we believe to be genocide, smashing churches and persecuting Christians. Well, he's not exactly wrong. I do completely understand where he's coming from. I think the trouble is, right, from the royal family's perspective, they will have to keep interacting with world leaders, so they want to not make enemies if they can. So it's in their best interest to perhaps ignore things like the record of human rights abuses that are happening in China under this president. But that doesn't mean it's right. It really doesn't. And I do think that something like an invitation to this funeral ought to be a privilege, not something people can expect. I'm aware that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has also been invited. I'm not comfortable with that either. You know, this is a man who has allowed for, again, human rights abuses, particularly with a very misogynistic and anti-LGBT kind of emphasis. And I don't feel that someone like that should be invited either. So for perhaps the first and last time, I agree with Ian Duncan Smith. Fair enough. It's never going to happen again. It's never going to fucking happen again. But I do think he has a very fair point. This should be a moment in which we look at whether we want to appease world leaders who conduct themselves in ways that are contradictory to what we claim are British values. We can't say that these things are British values if we then don't fight for them. You know what I mean? If we just abandon them and say, well, you know, I know that this person's regime has gone against everything we stand for, but we're still going to be nice to them and invite them and, you know, pamper them and make them feel special. I don't think we should be doing that. But this is not a government I expect strength from. So, you know, Boris Johnson also decided he had something to say. He decided to talk about the Queen. He said that the Queen never asked him about the number 10 Downing Street party the night before Philip's funeral. So if you remember, there was a party at Downing Street the night before Prince Philip's funeral, and the night before we of course then got that very sad picture of the Queen alone at Philip's funeral due to COVID rules. And regardless of what you feel about the monarchy, about the Queen, it was a very sad picture. You know, an older lady all alone at her husband's funeral. It's horrible. It really is. And Boris Johnson says that the Queen just didn't ask him about it, didn't bring it up. I mean, it's easy for him to say these things now. You know, because she's not there to correct him and say, well, actually, bitch. Do I believe that the Queen perhaps, you know, maybe did cuss him out about it? I don't think so. I don't think she did. Perhaps she should have, but she did. She didn't probably do that. If it was me, I would have been like, this bitch fucking coming in here after all this, disrespecting me, disrespecting the people that I serve, my husband as well, fucking coming in here for our little weekly meetings, you fucking twat. I would have fucking had it out with him. But then again, perhaps that's why I'm not the Queen. Oh, but I should be, shouldn't I? That'd be well good. Anyway, but I don't know. I feel like Boris Johnson is, again, a part of him trying to cement his legacy, because that's the only thing he cares about. That's the only thing he has ever cared about. And that's why his legacy is going to be so shit. And it's what he deserves. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the UK and not have to worry about... Dun, 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 dun. Boris. He's back. He's back, in a sense. So there is a TV show that's been made. It's going to be airing on Sky something. I don't know. Hang on, let me check. Sky Atlantic. It's called This England, and it's about Boris Johnson. And everybody has been ripping the trailer to shreds because... I mean, I don't know why they would make this. I don't know. Who is this for? What is this? No one knows. So let's have a look at the description. Drama based on the first months of Boris Johnson's time in office as the country grappled COVID-19 and Brexit, and Johnson himself struggled with a personal and political life racked by controversy. So, okay. I think I'm going to watch this. I feel like it's going to be messy. It's going to be... I might do a reaction podcast to it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. It'll be fun. It'll be camp. So this will be coming soon. Apparently it's at the end of the month. I think it was supposed to air a bit earlier, but they pushed it back due to the mourning period. I guess they thought it'd be disrespectful. So I guess maybe the Queen's going to show up in an episode or two, but we'll see. I mean, you've got to fuck up pretty badly, I guess, to have a drama series made about you when you've only just stopped being Prime Minister. but that's our Boris. Speaking of screw-ups that served in the Johnson administration, former disgraced Health Secretary Matt Hancock and full-time cringe icon, he is continuing his quest to rebrand himself, get himself back out there, and make everyone participate in his midlife crisis. Matt Hancock has signed up for the next series of Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins. Who told this bitch he was a celebrity? Who said that to him? Firstly, I don't know what this show is. Hold on. What is this? Okay, I'm seeing lots of army people. What is this? You got a Wikipedia page? I just need a summary. Here we go. Okay. SAS Who Dares Wins is a reality quasi-military training television program. Broadcast by Channel 4. Okay. How does it work? Okay. The show pits contestants against harsh environments all around the world in a shortened 2-week-long training course that is designed to replicate a number of elements of the actual United Kingdom Special Forces selection course, a notorious, difficult program that has been known to claim the lives. Bitch, what? That has been known to claim the lives of those who take it. Oh my God. Whoa. The show's directing staff take the recruits through hostile and unforgiving warfare environments while testing their mental and physical ability through a series of tests. What? God, what? Oh my God. Okay. Wow. Bloody hell. Right. So Matt Hancock has decided that is what he wants to do. Oh, girl. Like I said, who told this bitch he was a celebrity? And who told him he could do this? who told him that he was qualified to do this? According to that thing that I just read on Wikipedia, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, I don't know. Apparently people have died doing this. And this boy, really, really girl? Really? Oh my God. So apparently, he hopes that an appearance on the show would show a different side to his character. What the actual fuck? What the actual fuck? I kind of want to see it just because I think it will be hilarious. But I mean, Jesus. Not him. Like this. Bloody hell. So looking at the previous celebrities that have appeared, I guess maybe Matt Hancock can call himself a celebrity because I don't know who a lot of these people are. Whoa, 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 hang on. I say that. Oh my God, wait, they had like a gay icon series. They managed to book Kerry Katona and Alexandra Burke on the same series. That's iconic. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it would show a different side of him. I don't know. I don't see him doing well, but I mean, he doesn't do well at anything. So who really knows? If I was his constituent, I'd be fucking pissed because, you know, he's just going to take several weeks off to go and fuck around trying to get in the army, but not really. That would kind of annoy me, but I guess it raises money for charity, so at least that's one plus. You better raise a fucking lot of money, you absolute loser. Otherwise, I don't know. It might be really funny to watch like an army person shout at him, because I know army people shout a lot. When I was at school, there was a PE teacher and he was like, everyone in the school was scared of him because he used to be in the army and he used to shout all the time. So maybe it'll be like that, like a shouty army man or something. Although that teacher, he was like really chill actually when he wasn't like teaching PE and shouting. But most people didn't like know that because they just thought he was like a shouty man or whatever. But it might be funny to watch Matt Hancock being shouted at and then maybe he cries or something. That would be funny. But beyond that, I don't think we're going to get much out of it. Just like we're not getting much out of our current health secretary, Therese Coffey. Girl. So she has decided to start off her career as health secretary with a bang. She has told healthcare workers to avoid using the Oxford comma. Okay. Oh my God. She also told NHS staff to be positive. How, woman? Tell me how. We're in a situation where people are literally dying while waiting for ambulances in the UK. Like, that's happening. There are NHS staff that are so burned out, so demoralized, they literally cannot carry on. They can't. They are broken by years and years and years of poor treatment. And you want them to be positive and avoid Oxford commas? Girl, shut up. What the fucking hell is that? What the fucking hell is that? You know what they actually need? You know what they actually need, sweetheart? A good work-life balance. That's what they need. Mm-hmm. They need better wages. They need more time to have for themselves so they can be refreshed and rejuvenated when they go to work. Oh, God. What is that? Oh. Sorry. Sorry, I talk with my hands and my arms go all over the place and I just like smacked my housemate's sewing kit. And I was like, wait, what is this here for? What's going on? Ooh, was she sewing things without me? How rude. Anyway, yeah, so back to the NHS staff. Be positive and avoid Oxford commas. What the fucking hell is that? Shut up, girl. Shut up. If you ain't got anything useful to say, just shut up. Just shut up. So strikes have been a huge thing here in the UK. Everybody's into striking right now. However, a number of strikes were paused or cancelled due to the Queen's death. A number of unions made the decision to cancel their strike action out of respect for the Queen. Which actually, I think, was a smart move. I know that some people disagree with that and they say, oh, no, it's stupid. You know, they were gaining momentum and, you know, it's stupid to do that. And I can see that point of view. But I think cancelling the strikes and specifically every union specifically said it was out of respect. I think that was smart because I think it's a good message to send to the public, and it kind of fucks the government over because the government will be like, oh, these unions, they don't care about you. They don't care about disrupting your lives. They don't care about this. They don't care about that. Oh, the unions, they're such evil communist bastards. Ah, oh, the fucking unions. And then the unions just turn around. They do something popular and invoke the Queen at the same time. That's great. That's PR you can't buy, really. So I think that was a very smart choice by the unions, personally. And I think having done that, I think it may give them a bit more support going into their next round of strikes, personally. That's just my opinion. And we have some dates for those. And I think this is going to be a popular decision as well, because there are going to be some strikes by train drivers, which is going to take down the rail network, essentially. And those strikes are going to coincide with the Conservative Party conference. I fucking love the unions, man. Iconic. I fucking conic. So train drivers at 12 rail companies are targeting the Conservative Party conference, essentially. I have to stand. I had no choice. So they will be striking on the 1st of October and the 5th of October due to a dispute over pay and working conditions. And you know what that means? It means that a number of Conservative Party members, including their MPs, are going to have a lot of difficulty getting to Birmingham for the conference and also a lot of difficulty getting home. Oh, my God. Iconic. This could also potentially disrupt Liz Truss delivering her first keynote address as party leader and prime minister at the conference on Wednesday. That would be so fucking funny. She's like, oh, this is my big moment. I'm going to go to conference. I'm going to give my big speech. I'm going to feel my Thatcher fantasy. And then the rail unions were like, oh, no, you don't, sweetheart. Bitch, that's so funny. I have to stand. I have to fucking stand. Honestly, I do. I live for it. I hope that they get what they want. I really, really do. But I am also okay with them not getting what they want until that point, just so that they can ruin Liz Truss's big moment. Because that is just, oh, it's just sublime. Cost of living crisis. She's always there. You know she is. She is the weird presence you can feel as you go down to get a drink in the middle of the night and you can just feel someone watching you, that's her. She's there. She is the spooky sensation that you get when you wake up sometimes at night and you're like, I thought I just had someone. And your teddy bear's like, no, girl, go back to sleep. But you're like, no. I'm pretty sure it's her. She's downstairs. She's up to mischief. And she is approaching, coming closer, like Halloween and then Christmas after that. I am so anxious about Christmas. Don't even get me started. But the government wants us to know that they've got a plan for the cost of living. All right, they've got it all in hand. So the Chancellor is apparently delivering an emergency mini budget. Okay, all right. So what's it going to be? What's on the list? Let's find out, shall we? So the government plans to reverse the recent rise in national insurance, which could hand back up to £1,800 a year to top earners. But the lowest earners will only get £7 a year back. I don't really think that's going to help. I'm just saying, I think you're going to need more than that. So what else have they got? Well, let's have a look. They're going to announce ditching a planned rise in corporation tax. Okay. I don't really see how that helps me, but all right. How about you guys? Does that help you? I don't know. Let's have a look. They're going to be changing business rates, apparently, and cuts to VAT to apparently help with the energy crisis, as well as a long-term review of these taxes. I mean, this kind of all seems like stuff that is going to take a while to really help, and it kind of relies on the idea of trickle-down economics, which kind of isn't real, but okay. I'm open-minded. Let's see what else you got. Apparently, senior MPs within the Conservative Party believe that the Chancellor and government could make a rabbit-out-of-the-hat announcement on the cost-of-living crisis. I don't believe it. The rabbit that they are speculating is that he could bring forward by a year the pledge to cut income tax by 1%. That's a bit of a shit rabbit, to be honest. It's not... If you're going to pull a rabbit out of the hat, it's got to be good. Like, at the very least, like, make sure the rabbit's alive. And like, I mean, this is like if he had a hat and he's like, oh, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of it. And then he just pulls out like some dog food that has like a bit of rabbit in, like just a can of dog food. And you're like, that is not the rabbit that we were expecting to see. None of us are satisfied. Frankly, we're all appalled at this, to be honest with you. And he's just stood there with this hat and this dog food, just like, this is actually real monumental shit. Like, I pulled it from a hat. What more do you want? And I'm like, a sense of stability, a sense of place. I don't know, man. I don't know. So what else have they got? Apparently, there is an expectation that they will outline further details of Liz Truss's big emergency bailout plan. I'll believe it when I see it. And again, it's probably going to be a shit rabbit, so we'll see. Okay. But one thing that has been speculated on is the sugar tax. So what you may remember is here in the UK, there was... several measures to basically promote healthy eating, healthy living, and so on and so forth. Jamie Oliver, who's a celebrity chef, was a big campaigner for this. And so the plan was that things that have a lot of sugar in and stuff like that were going to essentially be taxed a little bit more to encourage companies to make healthier foods, healthier drinks, and to encourage the public to make healthier choices. Okay. All I know is that Ribena's never really been the same, and I don't know that I'm okay with that. But I also don't know if I'm okay with this decision from the government. So one of Liz Truss's big plans is she wants to scrap the sugar tax. This feels like it's a decision that's going to benefit some companies, but isn't really going to benefit the public all that much. But she's going to say it like it's for our benefit. Like she's going to talk about it like it's a really big favour to us and we should be real grateful to her. But it doesn't actually really help us that much. And it's probably a company that's asked very nicely, "Hey, Liz Truss, can you help us out? Because we'd like to, you know, be able to make more profit again." She's like, "Yeah, sure. Oh, but how do I swing this? Well, I'll just tell them that it's helping with the cost of living crisis, you know. they may not be able to afford to eat cake, but let them drink Fanta instead. It'll all be fine." I don't think this is for us. I think it is. She's doing it to basically help the companies that manufacture these products, but it doesn't really help all of us, I wouldn't say. It is also reported that the proposed ban on sweets and chocolates at checkouts, there was supposed to be a ban on that, that may now not happen, as well as the ban on buy one, get one free promotions on unhealthy food. So the government was planning on banning that. And she's now saying, no, I don't think we're gonna, because, you know, cost of living. And I'm like, Elizabeth, come on, girl, really? Okay, Liz is gonna Liz. But the big winners, of course, in all of this, and the people that thankfully have had the cost of living crisis sorted for them now, it's all been sorted, and not before time, because these people were really suffering. So reports are saying, the streets are saying, that the Chancellor may announce in the next few weeks that he will be scrapping caps on bankers' bonuses. Wow. Okay. I'm so glad you sorted things out for them, mate, because they were really going through it. So apparently one of his big plans is to remove the cap on bankers' bonuses so they can take even more money that they absolutely don't fucking deserve. What the fuck? Look, I mean, listen, I just... If you're going to be so blatant about fucking over the public and just giving more and more and more to the rich, at least have the audacity to not be as fucking obvious about it all the time. This is... I mean, what the fuck? What are they even going to do with all that money? Most of them don't even fucking spend it. It just sits around in accounts, just doing fuck all. Like, what's the point? Give them more money for what? So they can sit and hoard it like dragons? Come on. Honestly. It's just disgusting behaviour, to be honest. I'm not surprised. Yet again, here's more evidence that there's no fresh start under Liz Truss. There's no happiness. There's no greener grass on the other side. There ain't nothing over the rainbow but tears from the clouds. I just... Election now. Jesus Christ. Okay, besties, that's all for this week, but I will catch you again next week. for more disaster. Love you, bye.
What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
The stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog, sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that.
Has anybody been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously.